Good morning, Evangel. Turn to the person beside you and say, this is one fantastic church. Tell them, you are part of one fantastic church. Say it like you mean it. It's a good day, yes? Last Sunday, we reviewed the whole idea of inside out church, and we went down that road and explained where all of that came from. And we said, you know, now we have passed our 100th anniversary and we're in year one of the next 100 years. And so I turned to you and I explained all the ways that Evangel is doing good. And we talked about all the ways that Evangel is loving each other. And we talked about all the ways that Evangel is revealing Jesus. And we said, you are one fantastic church. Say that with me. Ready? One fantastic church. I feel like you don't quite get it, okay? I want you to put a big smile on your face. And some of you go, I am smiling. You're not. Ask the person beside you if you're smiling, okay? And then let's say this together. One fantastic church. Okay, one, two, three. One fantastic. That's what I'm talking about. And so I love this scripture that was referenced in the video that we just saw. It's from Acts chapter 2, which is in the Bible in the New Testament. And it's this picture, this description of what the very first followers of Jesus looked like when they came together, the very first church. And this is what it says. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And I love this picture because it shows us that the very first group of followers of Jesus, the first church that existed as soon as Jesus had died and risen and then gone back to heaven, the very first group of followers of Jesus, what did they do? They gathered together. They gathered together like we do on Sunday mornings. They gathered together and they did it regularly. And there were things that they did when they gathered together. They took communion together, the Lord's Supper, like we often do. They sang worship to God. They gave financially and made sure that everybody's needs were met. They studied scripture and learned about their faith. They prayed together and they worshiped together and they sang. And I love the last verse of the scripture that we just read because it tells the outcome of all of that. It says that when they did that, when they lived in this way and they kept gathering together in this way, it says that they enjoyed the goodwill of all the people. All the people on the outside. There was favor shown to them. People were impressed with it. People were kind of going, wow, thank God that church is there. And then it also says, and then God is the one that added new people every day. Who added new people? God is the one that added new people every day. Now that's encouraging to me. Because often when I think about church, and maybe it's the same for you, but often when we talk about church, it seems like it's just so complicated because you've got all these categories, right? You have the in-house stuff, which is all the stuff that happens like here, right? And so that's your children's programs and your Sunday services and your midweek Bible studies, if you have that, and all the things that you're supposed to volunteer for. And that takes a lot of time out of your week. And then you have the piece of your faith that's called, you know, my life, which is the stuff that's outside of here. And I'm out there living, and I'm supposed to take my faith and go out there and live in a way, and this is supposed to all help me with the way that I'm living my life. And then there's this piece that we often refer to as evangelism, which is where I'm supposed to take the my church stuff and sort of integrate it with the my life stuff, and I'm supposed to carry it out there. And sometimes I feel like I don't do that very well, and it gets a little bit overwhelming. But when I read this scripture, when I see this description of what these very first Christians did, well, it's all integrated. It all comes together because being a follower of Jesus is a whole life thing, right? And being part of a church is a whole life thing. It's not just one thing on Sunday morning and then the rest is separate. It all goes together. It all integrates together. And when they did that in Acts, then people saw and the Christians experienced favor and God added to their number daily those who were connecting with Jesus. And that seems simpler to me. And it seems really, really interesting. So I want to do a series over the next few weeks, and I kind of started it last week, and I didn't tell you, but now we're in it. And I want to do this series about the church, and specifically about this church, to be exact, because this is, say it with me, one fantastic church. And I want to talk about that and talk about how that looks. And we're going to use the book of Acts as a little bit of a loose basis for the whole thing. We're going to bounce around a little bit in it because that is a picture of the early church and what happened first of all. And the first thing that this church did was they gathered together regularly. And if you read through the New Testament, you see that pattern. It gets repeated. It doesn't matter what ethnicity. It doesn't matter if it's a group of followers of Jesus who are persecuted or free or what city they're in or whether they meet inside or outside. It doesn't matter. All of those variables can affect it. But nevertheless, every single time a group of followers of Jesus would come together, they were the church, and they would gather together regularly, and they would have communion, and they would sing worship, and they would pray, and they would take offerings, and they would read scripture, and they would do all of the kinds of things. And it's just beautiful. They developed all these deep friendships, and it's really, really beautiful. And somebody's going to say to me, because I know I've anticipated this, somebody's going to say, well, see, that's what the church should be. Just simply gathering together. We all just come together and it's beautiful and we just do some music and we just read a little bit of scripture and we don't need all this other stuff. You know, we don't need the bureaucracy and we don't need the systems and all of this complex staff and membership and boards and budgets. We'll just gather together nice and simple and everything will be fine. Can I push back on that just a little bit? Just a little bit. I got a couple areas I want to push that back. Number one, things are rarely that simple when a group of people gathers together, okay? They seem that simple sometimes, and the reason they seem that simple is because somebody did the work that nobody else has noticed. For example, has anyone here ever hosted the whole family Christmas dinner? Anyone? Hands up high, okay? These are the heroes of our church right here. These are the people. Can I just tell you, I thought that hosting a whole family, the whole family over in someone's home for Christmas dinner was simple. It's just easy. We just show up to mom and dad's house and somehow we all know when to get there and where to go. And then this food magically appears and the house is decorated and we all have this great time. And then we just leave and go home. It's simple. There's nothing to it. Till I was the person hosting the whole family for Christmas dinner. Anyone want to amen that? It turns out that if you want to host your whole family for Christmas dinner, it doesn't just happen. Who knew? It turns out that way ahead of time, you have to pull out your cookbooks and your recipes and all of that, and you need to plan what the actual meal or meals are going to be. And then from that, you have to sit down and make a grocery list. And then you have to go to the grocery store and fight with all the other people who have their lists that they're clutching in their little hands and get through the whole thing and take it all home, realize what you forgot. Go back to the grocery store on a second trip or send your husband to go and get the stuff that you forgot. And then that's when you start cooking and you start getting all the food ready for Christmas. And you also have to pay for all that, by the way. It costs money. And then you also have to, whoever's hosting the whole family for Christmas dinner, well, you have to provide a space of some kind where everybody can come together. And there has to be room for everybody. And there has to be enough chairs for everybody. And there has to be a functioning washroom. It's important when a bunch of people come together. And you have to have a place for the kids to play or wherever they can go. And then you have to also communicate with every single family member. And you have to do the miraculous task of finding that one day, just that one day, in the whole Christmas season when everybody can come at once. And it is a miracle if you accomplish that because you're working around everyone's exam schedule and everyone's work schedule and everybody's other in-laws' schedule. And you're trying to work it all together so that, you know, you can just gather together simply around Christmas dinner. Anyone here feel my pain? Okay. So even in the early church, they didn't just, it just happened magically. Somebody provided the food. If they ate meals together and they took the Lord's Supper together, somebody provided that food. And somebody provided the space. And somebody communicated to all of them, here's where we're going to meet and when. And somebody in that early church, it says that they sold what they had and they brought it together and they made sure that everybody had what they needed. Well, somebody received those offerings and somebody administered what was to happen with them. And somebody did the teaching and somebody, when they sang together, I certainly hope that somebody made sure that they were singing the same song at the same time in the same key, because if they're not, it's less than beautiful. Can I get an amen on that, right? And so just gathering together doesn't just happen. And it might happen once, but it doesn't happen on a repeated and regular basis. It doesn't happen on a long term. And so I'm pushing back on that things are never that simple. And second of all, here's this other idea that I want to push back with. If you actually read through the Bible and the New Testament, which is the story of the early church, you will see that as they gathered together and as they kept coming together regularly, different structures and systems started to emerge. There's more than just this organic, effortless gathering. There were systems that emerge and structures that emerge, because that's what always happens when people gather together on a regular basis. And somebody goes, well, that's very unspiritual. It's not unspiritual. It's just life. It's what happens when people come together. I mean, God himself at creation, when he did creation, he took the chaos of nothingness and he called order out of it. And he called order into it, and the order of creation happened there. So as churches, you know, since that time of Acts and right through 2,000 years until now, as churches have evolved and then grown and then sometimes plateaued and declined and died, some of them, and the new churches have been replanted and they grow again, different systems and different structures have emerged in different churches at different times in history in different places around the world. And the whole point, hopefully, usually, is to help facilitate this gathering together of the church, this ability to come together. And it's to help, and these structures emerge to help the many fantastic churches that are out there stay on track and do what they're supposed to do. It's not unspiritual, it's just life. Okay? Just say that to the person beside you. It's just life. It's just life. And so today, I want to update you a little bit on some of the systems and structures and the team that's part of this one fantastic church, because very little happens here that just happens. There's very little that does. Almost everything that happens here is because we have these dedicated staff and we have dedicated leaders and a lead team and so many of you that help pull it all together. And also because I wanted to give you an update, because over the past year, if you've been here, you may have noticed one or two or 102 changes that have taken place. Has anybody noticed? We've had some changes in staff and lead team in this church over the last year. And you may be wondering, because a lot of our staff have moved on to other things, and a number of our lead team have moved on to other things, and it all was in good relationships, so don't start any nasty rumors. Everything was fine. Just life happens. It's just life. And so you might be wondering, you might be going, has anyone noticed that people have moved on? I noticed. Okay, turn to the person beside you. She noticed. Aren't you glad that I noticed? We noticed, and we've been working on some stuff, and there's some stuff that I want to tell you today, an update that I want to give you, that we've been working on some of it for months, and I couldn't tell you any of it until today, but not all of it's in place, but some of it is starting today. So I want to introduce to you our whole staff team and our whole lead team today, and I'm just going to walk through it all so that you know who's who and how this team is being built, okay? So first of all, we have Pastor Rob Moore. He's our executive associate pastor. And we just love him. He started here part-time in March, and then he and his whole family were able to move here by July, and they've been full-time since then. And actually, he's been a little bit more full-time because he was hired to replace Pastor Bill, who just naturally does two jobs in one. That's the kind of person he is. So there's two roles right there. And then Ziad, our operations director, resigned, and so Pastor Rob took that on as well. And then Pastor Joe went to plant his City Reach Broussard, and so Pastor Rob took that on as well. So he has been covering three or four roles. The goal is for him to just have one. I know that's a crazy thought. But ultimately, the executive associate pastor is the right hand to me, right hand to the lead pastor. And his role is going to be to oversee and mentor all of our staff and make sure that they are properly resourced and they're cared for and they're given good oversight as they lead the different ministries in the church. He's also going to do a lot of overseeing of the global work that we do because we support 11 global workers and their families in 9 different countries, I think, around the world. And also, really, his role is to implement the practical how-tos of this church as we figure out the long-term vision. And as we walk that out, he figures out how we implement that on a practical level. So he's married to Jana. They got 3 awesome kids, Chelsea, Madison, and Jared. And when they moved here, although they are Canadian born and raised, they actually moved here from Thailand because they were global workers in Thailand running an organization that provided informal education to at-risk women and students so that they wouldn't have to resort to prostitution to support themselves. That is awesome. So that's who Pastor Rob is. And can I just tell you, Pastor Rob is one fantastic pastor. Okay? Here's the second one. Pastor Tim Cummins. He's our new youth and young adults pastor. And I'm going to ask him to stand because he just got here. None of you know who he is. So stand up, would you? Would you welcome him? Pastor Tim and his wife and family were actually here incognito last Sunday, and so some of you might have met them, and they've been in and out of the office this week and working on different things, but they arrived in the city just about a week ago. Their moving truck got here on Tuesday, and they just unpacked their last box last night. Pastor Tim has had 11 years experience. He comes from Church on the Queensway in Toronto and has worked in different areas, which included youth and also tweens, not teens, tweens, which is the time before teens, youth, and then also spent some time working with young adults and giving leadership in each of those areas. So he's got fantastic experience there. And so he's here now full-time and he's going to be working with our youth and with our young adults. And he's also going to be connecting with an organization called Red Frogs here in the city, which is at work on McGill campus. But then there's also opportunities on Concordia and Dawson and LaSalle and all of that to do campus ministry because we have over 100,000 students that walk by our doors every day. And we think maybe we should be doing something to reach them. Hello? And so we're putting that on his plate as well. And then also in his spare time, he's going to cover guest services, which is everything that happens between the sanctuary doors and the outside doors. So get connected and resource zone and info desk and all of that kind of ushers, greeters, all of that kind of thing. He's going to cover that for now. But frankly, we're really hoping that youth and young adults and campus ministry will expand and will take over his role. And when that happens, we'll take guest services and we'll move it off to somebody else. He's married to Leah. They have a 3-year-old named Nova Lee and a 5-month-old named Ella Rose. And Pastor Tim is one fantastic pastor. Okay? Number 3. You go, Patty, this is a lot. You ain't seen nothing yet. We got a lot to get through, okay? Number 3, Pastor Shannon Opedisano. She's our children's pastor. Now, before I get into Shannon, I need to stop right now and say a huge thank you to Angela Hearsink, who's a part of our congregation. Yeah, because Angela just last spring took over the role and covered Shannon's maternity leave all summer and did a fantastic job doing it. And we're just so grateful for that. And so Shannon got back from her maternity leave on Tuesday. She got back in the office. She's part-time on staff and she works with our kids here at Evangel, but she also actually, and more importantly, works with the volunteers who work with the kids. And so she resources them and she trains them and she makes sure that all the background checks and the plan to protect training is done, which takes hours hours and hours to do that. And she's got all kinds of things that she really looks after them so that all of our volunteers are fully trained and supported so that they can teach our kids and they can minister to our kids really well. And she's got big dreams, Shannon does, because she doesn't want to just work only with the kids here within this church, within our little group here. She's got dreams of how do we reach the kids in the community? How do we get out there, outside our walls, and do something to help the kids? And we're going to send her, there's a few churches that are just have thriving children's ministry in other cities. And we're going to, when we get a chance, we're going to send her to a few of those churches so she can visit and she can just, you know, cross-pollinate and brainstorm and get inspired about some of the things others are doing and see what can be brought back here and what can make it work well. She recently got her initial credentials with Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. So she is now Pastor Shannon, and she's married to Cosimo with two little kids, Eliana Ruth and Benjamin, and Shannon is one fantastic pastor, okay? Now, I got something to tell you, and I'm excited about it because hopefully if you have heard before now, it's because somebody told, but it's been a secret until today, and so I want to give you a little backdrop. So a few months ago, you know, last spring I was talking a lot about the generations in evangel, and that there's five generations, the first time a church has had five generations in history at the same time. We talked a lot about that thing. And so I was reading, doing some more reading about generations in churches, and I was on my balcony at home, and I'm reading this book, and it said, you know, churches don't really know what to do with baby boomers as they approach retirement. It said, baby boomers have all kinds of management and ministry and leadership skills. They got more in their little finger than lots of the younger ones do. And yet when they retire and they're looking for something purposeful to do, they go to the church and the church goes, well, you could work in the nursery or you could fold bulletins. And the baby boomers go, okay. And they do that. And then they go down the street to another organization and offer the bigger skills that they have there. I don't want to lose those people. And so I was reading on my balcony and reading about this, and I put my book down a few months ago, and I said, God, are there any retiring baby boomers here that could be used to fill some of the roles and some of the gaps that are coming up? And this name dropped into my head, and I went, oh. And I went inside the apartment where Jeff was. I said, Jeff, and I just told him everything I just told you. I go, what do you think about this person? And he said, oh. That's good. And then I phoned Pastor Rob and I told him the whole thing. And I said, what do you think about? And he said, oh, Patty, that's good. And I even phoned Pastor Bill in Huntsville. I said, what do you think? He goes, oh, that's a good. So this person has been part of Evangel for 30 years. They're fully bilingual. They have went to the same institution that I did for their theological education. So they're fully qualified for licensed minister credentials, which will eventually take them to ordination and they get to put the reverend in front of their name. And they're a person that has had dreams for years of functioning in ministry and has just been working away and trusting that God would open doors for them when the time is right. They've served on Evangel's lead team, and they've done all kinds of ministry as well. Are you listening? You're all paying attention now, aren't you? Huh? Huh? And so I'm excited. If I had a drum, I would drum roll right now. But I'm very pleased to let you know that Pauline Richard is coming on staff at Evangel as our Connections and Membership Pastor. I'm so excited about that. And so here's how that's going to look. She's starting one day a week, and about a week from now, she's going to start one day a week because she's still operations supervisor at La Gifem Women's Shelter, and she's working on slowly transitioning out of there. And so she's going to start one day a week, and then by January, she'll be a couple days a week. And then sometime within the next year, hopefully, we can transition that in so that she can be full-time. And her role is going to be to help newcomers connect, to give some oversight to all of the in-house Connections ministry, you know, anything that's about getting together. She's going to also manage the voting memberships and take care of all of that. And Pauline Richard is about to be one fantastic pastor. Now, let me just keep on going here. Pastor Normand Charlebois. He is our pastor of Le Campus, our Francophone church, and also in charge of outreach at Evangel. So he arrived at Evangel 3 years ago from our Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada district office here in Quebec. And he joined our staff primarily to do two things. First of all, the biggest thing was to plant a French church that would stay connected to Evangel, partly as a statement of unity between French and English here in Montreal and in the province of Quebec. And so he's been working on that. And then he also oversees our outreach at Evangel. Oversees the Cabot Square outreach that we do, our ESL and FSL classes, our prison ministry, and we're really hoping to expand all of that. And he's married to Dominique and has two little girls named Océane and Mélie Rose, and Pastor Normand is one fantastic pastor. And then we have Nick Tyler. He's our music team leader. That's his crowd there. They love him there. Nick has been at Evangel as part of our congregation for a couple of years, and then he was hired on temporarily before I arrived. And so when I got here, they said to me, Nick is covering a role, and we hired him temporarily, and let's see if it works out. And the cool thing is that he has decided to stay as part of Evangel staff, which we're very excited about. He came here from Australia, and he's learning French as fast as he can. He's putting both Jeff and I absolutely to shame in the speed at which he's learning French. He is one of the most organized people I've ever met. And I tease him just a little bit about it because every now and then he chases me for details and I go, just back off. But it's because he's super organized. And I got to tell you, because I am a musician and I'm married to a musician, when there is a gathering of musicians, it's chaos. They need somebody to organize them. And so he does a fantastic job at pulling all of that together. He's also a musician himself. He's highly skilled musically. He has this real heart and passion to worship God and to teach other people how to worship God. And so he leads our ECAT team and develops the leaders and supports them. He also does all of our social media for our church. So anything you see on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever, that's all Nick. He went home for a month back to Australia in the summer, just for a month. And in that month, we all realized just how much we needed him. And so we have forbidden him from ever leaving again. And he's half-time here at Evangel. With the other part of his life, he's just started the music school that is using this space here, but is a separate entity. And so Nick Tyler is one fantastic part of our team here at Evangel. And then we have Adrian Civera, who is our multimedia team leader. And a bunch of you, he's been at Evangel since childhood, so it seems to me that most of you know him and have known him for a long time. He's one of the first people that I met when I came here. I would get here on a Sunday, and I found out that he would be here by 6:30 Sunday morning, and he would usually be here right through until 1 or 1:30 Sunday afternoon, and he would also come in the office during the week and help out with different things, and it was all volunteer because he loves his church and he's dedicated, and that's what he wanted to do. And so we brought him on staff part-time this summer, and we brought him on to help with our website and our graphics and our Sunday visuals. He's part of our communications team. He's engaged to Sarah and they're getting married next summer. And Adrian is one fantastic part of our team. And there's more. Let me tell you about another shift that we've taken, a couple shifts that we've done. Our operations team leader, our operations director, Ziad, left in the summer after getting us through the last of our renovations in this building. And that was a big job and it was a massive job. And he felt like he had come to an end. And so he moved on. And since then, we've been working really hard to try to figure out what does this role look like now? What does it look like now that our renovations are complete? We don't think we need maybe a 24/7 on-call operations director who does everything now that the renos are complete. Maybe the job's a little bit simpler. So instead of hiring new, we created an operations team by shifting some existing roles. So we have, first of all, Jasmine Nassif, and her new position is operations, facility management, and rentals. Jasmine joined our staff at Evangel about a year and a half ago, and she started as a part-time assistant to the office administrator, and then she became the assistant to the operations director, and so her role and her bosses have changed many, many times, and she's still standing, which I think is just a really good quality right there. And so Jasmine, we realize she knows the ropes of our facility. Right now, she's the one handling our rentals. She's the one handling lots of our maintenance contracts and our facility management, the church calendar. And so we asked her if she would increase her role one more time, and she agreed. And so she is moving into working 4 days a week. She's not on call 24/7. Turn to the person next to you and go, she's not on call 24/7. Okay, but she is here 4 days a week, and she's part of our operations team covering facility management and rentals. So Jasmine is one fantastic part of our team. And then the other shift that we made was with Nancy Tosh. Nancy is shifting into operations, finances, and human resources. She joined our staff just as the bookkeeper just over a year ago part-time. Now, let me tell you about Nancy. She arrived just as our financial year end was happening, so that's huge. And then at the same time, the lead pastor was leaving. So that's also huge. And at the same time, the church was getting never-ending renovation bills, which was also huge. And then at the same time, apparently we felt that that would be the best time to completely overhaul and bring in a new entire software system for our finances. How many just have respect for Nancy right there? That's what she arrived in just over a year ago. She has not only a business degree, but years of experience, and she's upgraded her training to include human resources. And so she helps us navigate labor laws and vacation pay and all of the things that we need to do so we can treat our staff lawfully and with generous integrity. She also, we're increasing her role to full-time, and we're adding human resources onto her role as part of our operations team. So she'll help to oversee Evangel's day-to-day financial runnings, help us to track the trends, help us prepare the annual budgets, all that stuff. And if you want her to love you, pay attention now, then when you put an envelope in the offering, print your name. Print your name. Your signature she can't read and it makes her cry. Okay? Print your name and she will love you forever. Nancy is one fantastic part of our team. And then we have Jonard Tickman, and Jonard is our custodian and building maintenance guy. He joined our staff just over a year ago, and a bunch of you have made a point of coming to tell me what a fantastic job he's doing. He's the guy that keeps this space and the lighthouse clean. He oversees the other volunteers who help with keeping it clean. He does minor fixes and maintenance along the way, which helps to save us money. And so he's full-time, but he's not 24/7, but he is full-time. And Jonard is one fantastic part of our team. And then there's one more person, our lead pastor, that's me. I'm their leader, okay? And you might wonder if there's anything left for me to do, because there's different versions of lead pastors in different churches. And so when I came here, just so that you know, the lead team asked me to prioritize, and we affirmed together that my primary role here at Evangel is, first of all, to cast and implement the long-term vision so that we know where we're going and how we're going to get there. And that includes hiring and building a staff team. And my role is also to do the bulk of the Sunday speaking and some of the teaching that happens in the church. And my role is also to chair the lead team, which oversees all the administration and the finances and all of that. And then when we have, if you were here last Sunday, you know that if we have a community Thanksgiving dinner, I just stay to the side and get out of the way and hold up a wall, because otherwise I'm just in the way because everybody else is all covering it. But that's my role. Jeff and I have been here, as of now, 50 weeks, and we're hoping to stay, you know, for a good long time, assuming that you still like us after 50 weeks. And so that's the team that we have. We do have to add something else on, and I'm letting you know this because I want you to help me spread the word. We are in serious need of a receptionist and office administrator. And somebody's going to say to me, well, Patty, you know, I know so-and-so, and that person, I think they can do it because they're really nice. Can I just tell you, really nice is not the entirety of the skills that are needed for this job. We want them to be a really nice person, but there are some skills that are needed with it. They have to be able to draft professional sounding and professional looking correspondence. They have to be fully bilingual. They have to be able to answer phones, multiple lines, and the doors at two different buildings without ever losing patience. They have to provide administrative support for me and for Pastor Rob, because we don't have any other office staff at this moment. And they have to be able to do data entry and have fantastic computer and organizational skills and be able not to lose their train of thought and be able to focus and multitask when everybody's talking to them at once, right? The positions posted on the website, We really need somebody to do that. And until that position is filled, we're going to be limping along a little bit. And so I'm just being honest with you about that and asking for your grace as we do that. But if you know somebody, let us know. And as this whole team settles in, then we are going to probably need one more position, one more ministry position. But we're not looking right now because we're going to let this team settle in and figure out where the gaps are and where the tweaks need to happen before we expand beyond that. That is our staff team that we have at Evangel at this moment. Good? Good. Okay. I have 6 minutes left. I'm going to go at the fastest speed you've ever heard me go. Okay, put your seatbelt on because I don't want to go over time. I want to tell you about our lead team. Our lead team is our board of directors here at Evangel. I want to tell you just quickly what it isn't. Our lead team is not a group of people that are yes men or yes women to everything the lead pastor wants. They bring thoughtfulness and wisdom and integrity to decisions that have been made. But at the same time, they're also not a watchdog that looks for the mistakes that are happening and corrects and holds back the pastor to tell them all the flaws that they are doing. They're neither one of those things. They're not a liaison for specific ministries, and they don't hire staff. What they do, what the lead team at Evangel does is they deal with policies, they deal with the overall finances, they deal with the administration and the voting membership of the church, they oversee and review the annual salaries and pay rate of the lead pastor and staff, they support the lead pastor in implementing ministries that contribute to the spiritual leadership of the church, and they appoint elders that help to take care of the church. And the way it works here is we present a slate of nominees that the former lead team has helped to put together through a nominating committee, and that slate of names is brought to the voting membership, and all at once it's a yes or no vote, and they try to bring about diversity and everything that we need in order to do that. And so we just did that recently. And so this, just in September, we had our annual meeting and we brought a slate of names, and we brought a slate of 5 names because we had so many people move on. We needed 5 to bring our lead team back up to 7 to what it needed to be. Since that time, I'm just telling you, there's always little hiccups along the way. Since that time, one of the lead team members that you voted in discovered that there was a conflict of interest with their work and a compliance issue that caused some problems, and so they regretfully had to step down. So I am now, next week, going to be back in the constitutional process of finding out how we replace that person, and we'll just keep doing that. But our new lead team just had our first meeting this week, and it was great. We talked about what we do. We went over minutes. We went over finances. We looked at the big picture and all of that stuff. And so I want to tell you quickly who's on your one fantastic lead team right now. Ready? Number 1, Susie Abuli Angachi. She's originally from Kenya. She's been part of Evangel since 2011. She loves Evangel because it's multi-generational and multicultural, and she loves the preaching and the worship. And she's a customer service agent in a stock transfer agency is what she is. And so she's starting her first term. Number 2, Sancha Boni moved to Montreal from Ottawa in 2011. She was raised in church, and so when she got to Montreal, she wanted to find a good church, and it turns out this was it. So Evangel was one of the first places that she visited, and she stayed. She's part of our worship team. She was singing this morning on our worship team. She works in full-time in the financial industry and also goes to school on the side because she's working towards her dream of running her own daycare, and so she has just started her first term on our lead team. Number 3, Alvaro Ekazu has been part of Evangel since 2002 and especially really focused in on 2009. He owns a business that imports alpaca and llama wool from Bolivia and Peru. How cool is that? That's cool, right? He's an industrial engineer with a master's in engineering management. His school was done at the University of Chile and then Ottawa, and he's already been part of our lead team, and now he's continuing. We're very happy to have him continuing. Nilendri Fernando moved from Mississauga to Montreal 6 years ago. She came to Evangel on her second Sunday and never left. She had 3 check marks that spoke to her. Great worship, check. Good teaching, check. And everybody here made her feel welcome and accepted, check. She's a project engineer at Bombardier as part of the special missions group that converts standard aircrafts into specialized planes. And she wanted me to tell you, especially spy planes, because she thought that was really cool. And so that should be mentioned. And so she actually does that. She serves on ECAT and she's been one of our elders. And so she's just starting her first team on the lead team. And then we have whatever number we're at, which is Navart Hotakortsian. Navart is continuing on the lead team. She is a nurse. Specializes as enterostomal therapist at Jewish General Hospital. She's been part of Evangel for 14 years. She's served on the lead team for 3 years, and she's also part of the core leadership for Le Campus, our Francophone church. And so there's good representation on the lead team for them as well. And she's continuing, and we're really glad to have her there. And then finally, we have Maryland Ukpabi, who came to Evangel 8 years ago when she started university. And she said this church has become just like family to her, just this shaping influence in her life, and she's so grateful to serve. And she's an accountant that audits accountants, and so she's starting her first team on the lead team. That is the lead team of Evangel at this moment. I have 1 minute left. So I'm going to ask our entire staff and our entire new lead team if they would come up on the platform right now, because I want all of us to pray over them and I want you to see who they are. But meanwhile, I just want to remind you of that picture in Acts chapter 2 that we said about people. They gathered together, that first church gathered together, and they celebrated communion and they praised God and they prayed and they worshiped together and they studied the scripture together, and it was the first church and it was one fantastic church. And so is this one. This is one fantastic church. And you have up here a team of people that is one fantastic team of leaders in this church. And so now we are in year one of the next 100 years. And we still got some growth to do, and but we got to focus, and we know where we're going, and we are counting on God to bring people to know Jesus, whether for the first time or the first time in a long time, and start adding to our numbers again. Does that sound like something you can get on board with? Yeah. Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask you if you would stand. And this is what I want you to do. I want you to stretch your hand out towards this awesome team of leaders that we have. Do you want me to just move this? My organizer right now is pointing and gesturing. I want you to stretch out your hands toward this team of leaders, and I want you to pray for them, okay? And then pray for me too, and then we're going to close this service. So God, we say thank you for making Evangel one fantastic church. We say thank you, God, for bringing every single person that's on this platform, whether they're staff or lead team. We say thank you for bringing them here. Thank you for raising them up. Thank you, God, for the skills and the stories that you've already put in their lives that will help them to do what you've called them to do here. God, as a church, we pray over every single one of these leaders and over me too, that God, we would have the power of the Holy Spirit to do our jobs well, to lead well, to serve well with humility and with integrity and with joy. I pray, God, that you would provide for every one of these leaders, and you would help each of us to honor you in the position in which you've placed us. And God, now together, each of us here in this church, we're heading out, we're finishing this service, and we're going out into the world where you have us placed. And we're going to our schools, and we're going to our work, and we're going to our families and all of those things. And we pray that as we do, you would help us to carry Jesus well. Help us to do good out there. Help us to love each other. Help us to reveal Jesus with every passionate fiber of our being. And would you bring us back safely next week and add to this church? And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen. God bless you. We'll see you downstairs at On Point, and we'll see you next Sunday. Have a great week.